But first to the latest episode in a pretty hard-fought power struggle that just may have slipped your attention. And now there could be some reconciliation on the horizon, maybe, between the two political sides of Palestine, Hamas and Fatah, with hopefully some relief for the Palestinian people. This week marked a rather important step when the Fatah Prime Minister of the Palestinian Authority, Rama Hamdallah, based in the West Bank, arrived in the other Palestinian enclave, Gaza, for meetings with Hamas leaders ahead of planned talks in Cairo next week. Now, the two groups have been at each other's throats for years, particularly since Hamas, formally listed as a terrorist group, still, surprisingly won elections in 2006. But this past year, frictions intensified with the PA restricting, for instance, the supply of electricity to Gaza, an extraordinary development. So what is going on? Grant Rumley is joining me to discuss this. He's a research fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies in the US, where he focuses on Palestinian politics. He's also the author of The Last Palestinian, The Rise and Reign of Mahmoud Abbas. Prior to this, he was a visiting fellow at MITFIM, which is the Israeli Institute for Regional Foreign Policies. And while living in Jerusalem, he founded and edited the Jerusalem Review of Near East Affairs. Grant, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Thank you so much for having me.
What's at stake here, really?
Well, the mantle of the Palestinian National Project right now. These two sides, Hamas, Fatah, have fought an ideological battle going back decades. They have fundamentally divergent views about what a Palestinian state should look like and how to best get that Palestinian state. They've feuded for years since 2006 when Hamas won the parliamentary elections to 2007 when Hamas violently expelled the PA and Fatah forces from Gaza. They've danced this quasi-dance of reconciliation on again, off again. It's popular among the public who wants to see their two largest factions united, but it's something that that many folks, including myself, are skeptical that there's a real possibility of breakthrough.
So this big meeting, after it's really been a very bruising year, I mean, it hasn't hit the headlines, but when you look at the details, it's been a very bruising year within Palestinian politics. You don't see any reason for hope with these, I think, really effectively Egypt-brokered talks next week?
Well, in general, as a rule, I typically take reconciliation seriously if Egypt is involved. Cairo is one of the few parties that has leverage with both sides of this debate, and it's one of the few countries that have sort of taken this very seriously. It's made it a priority. It's something that Sisi cares about deeply. But in general, there's too much bad blood to overcome right now. What Hamas is willing to do is have the PA come into Gaza, take over administration, pay for civil education, health ministries, but they don't want to give up their guns. They don't want to give up full military control over the Gaza Strip. And for Mahmoud Abbas and the PA, they don't want to risk forces and assets and resources going back into Gaza unless there's a guarantee. And that guarantee only comes through Hamas disarming. So I don't see the middle of this Venn diagram as existing. I don't think there's much of a middle ground here between the two, but I'm sure they'll be committed to some type of, you know, ongoing negotiation process that ultimately, unless there's some breakthrough, I don't see changing much on the ground.
Well, why have we even got to this point then?
Well, because for one, it's something that Palestinians regularly demand of their leaders. If you polled 10 Palestinians about what they cared most about, most of them would say jobs and reconciliation between our two largest parties. So it's something the public regularly demands of them. Hamas has also been in a bit of a bind lately. The past year has been very hard on the group. They've been blockaded. They've lost patrons with Qatar. Turkey's funding has kind of come up and down before. And Abbas did something that he's never done before, and that was earlier this year. He issued his own sanctions against the Gaza Strip. He cut off money for fuel, for power.
Extraordinary.
It was basically sanctioning his own people as sort of punishment for supporting Hamas. Now,
well, he basically cut off their electricity too, didn't he?
During the summer, I mean, Gazans were living in abject misery, and getting 1 to 2 hours of electricity per day in a Gazan summer is just awful. And so, I think his gamble was that Gazans would rise up and protest against Hamas, pressure them, possibly overthrow them. His own advisors were calling on Gazans to do that. But I think he right now credits his sort of sanction campaign as what brought Hamas to the table. I think it's likely that it's likely the fact that Hamas has new leaders that are based in Gaza. They're not abroad anymore. And so they're feeling the squeeze of the people of the situation. And I think right now their goal is to make a deal with anybody who can get money in, who can open up some of the borders, who can get more resources in. And so to that end, I think that's why they've initiated a willingness to have the PA come in and shoulder the burden of costs. But like I said, that doesn't extend to disarming their military wing.
Well, it hasn't thus far, but isn't it like there's this new leadership within Hamas, and I'd like you to tell us about it, particularly people who've had to sort of lay down their guns and run the place and apparently have had a bit of a shock at what it actually takes to run a place. Might they, here I am reaching for hope, might they not consider that it has just got to the point where they do have to surrender some of their guns?
I can't rule it out as a possibility, but in general, there are four centers of power within Hamas, four ways to sort of think about it. There's, as a group, there's a Gaza-based leadership and a leadership that's abroad, whether in Doha or in Turkey. And then there's a military-based leadership and a political leadership. Now, in the past, the divide between those was pretty clear and distinct. There was a political leadership abroad that was trying to lead the movement in Gaza. Over the past year, three notable figures have risen the ranks of the Politburo. The overall leader is Ismail Haniyeh. He's Gaza-based, regarded as sort of a bridge between the political and military wings, certainly closer to the military side than his predecessor, Khaled Mashal. And the new number two, or the political chief in Gaza, is a guy by the name of Yahya Sinwar. Now, Sinwar
he's the interesting one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's regarded as possibly the most hardline figure within the group. He rose up within the military wing by establishing a force called Mejid, which was in charge of weeding out collaborators. And he is widely credited with personally executing over a dozen Hamas collaborators. He is, during the 2014 war, he was the group's quasi-defense secretary, Secretary of Defense. He is very much ingrained in the military apparatus. And just this week, it was announced that the deputy to Ismail Haniyeh, so the number two within that Politburo, is Salah Arouri, who was head of military operations in the West Bank and one of the Hamas military leaders who initiated the 2014 war. So while I do think it's likely, you know, it could be a possibility at some point down the road that Hamas would disarm, I don't think it's a high possibility. I'm incredibly skeptical of that. And I think the recent shifts within the organization where military wing members have had more of a say in the political wing's apparatuses, I think indicates that it's more of a shift towards the military wing in terms of the center of balance.
Okay. Just quickly, finally, the attitude of Egypt and Israel to this, then, how would you describe that?
Well, I think they share a view of this. For both of them, it's an issue of national security. Neither side wants to see a war break out in Gaza. For Egypt, Sisi looks at Hamas as a bit of a thorny issue. In the past, Hamas has collaborated with and aided some of Wilayat Sinai, ISIS's Sinai-based branch, in attacks against the Egyptian army. And this was a major point of consternation between Sisi and Hamas, and one in which Sisi has kept the border closed with Gaza for much of this year as punishment to Hamas. It's another thing that I think has created enough pressure that brought Hamas to this to make some concessions and get to this point. And for Israel, likewise, Israel is not looking for another war in Gaza. I don't think it's looking to have to put troops on the ground or suffer any of those consequences. And so I think for both sides, they're all basically looking at what can alleviate the humanitarian situation in Gaza and possibly buy us some time and improve conditions for everyday Gazans.
Very interesting. We'll watch with interest the meetings this week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Grant Rumley, Research Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, where he focuses on Palestinian politics. And his book, his last book, is The Last Palestinian, The Rise and Reign of Mahmoud Abbas.